జయం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయం శరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. నిత్యలీలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిభ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామ్కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్కి మధురపురి ధామ్కి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామ్కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్కి గంగమాయికి హిమనామాయికి తులసీదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు శ్రీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్ నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే. ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం పాఠాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవదాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన కృతిదాం పురాణమునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీ భగవదీ అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీ అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే ఫుల్లారవిందాయ వత్రనేత్ర ఏన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీప ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ తోత్రవేత్రైకవాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః. సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధా గోపాలనందన పార్థో వల్స సుదీర్భోక్తా దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహత్ వసుదేవ సుదం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం దేవగీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం. భీష్మద్రోణతటాచేత్రజల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహని కర్ణేన వేలాకుల అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోరమకర దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సోతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానకేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాబోధితం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదైరహరహ పేబీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత పంకజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే. మూగం కరోతి వాజాలం పంగం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్వన్నుంది దివ్యై సవై వేదై సాంగపదై క్రమ ఉపనిషదైర్గాయందియం సామగాః ధ్యానావస్థితద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యందియం యోగినో యస్యాంతం న విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. As I said yesterday, rishis gave importance to bhavana, not to the fact. Fact is not important. Fact is, the problem with the fact is already happened. There's no point in scrutinizing it further. Bhavana is the force that's controlling us, our future. Because what is inside will control us, our actions in the future. So, you can see that where the modern mind is more interested in the fact and verifying the fact and fact-checking, they call it. So all such things. Rishis never believed in that. Never. They had no belief in these things, particularly when it happened, where it happened. Like the time factor, the date and time and things like that, they never gave any importance to it. You can see in their writings. They never gave importance to when it happened, where it happened, things like that. More important for them is how the world affects us inside. That's what matters to them. We are the one who have to escape from this mess, from this world. So what does the world impacts on us inside is what matters. Not what is going on in the world. This is the problem with modern thinking. That we are thinking that this world is important. Everything happening in the world matters. No. Rishi's point is, world will go on its own way because that's Maya's domain. Maya will manage her own way. We, what is the effect of this Maya inside us, or the power of this world in us, that's what matters. Because bhavam, what it, you can see Krishna never uses this word bhavam. He has used many places. If you look at all the verses, even the next verse, what he's saying here, aham sarvasya prabhavo matta sarvam pravartade idi matva bhajande mam budha bhava samanyuda. Bhavam is important. For Krishna, bhavam is important, not the history. History is not important. Similarly, you can see in the sixth verse also, Maharshaya Saptapurve Chatuaro Manavastada Madbhava Manasa Jada. Madbhava Manasa Jada Yasham Loka Ima Praja. Bhavam matters. So what bhavam we create inside, that matters. And that's what Krishna also said, told us that Andhakaleja Mameva Smaran Tetva Kalevaram Yal Prayadasa Madbhava Yadi Nastyatra Samshaya. So bhavam is given more important than the facts. Facts are not important. Bhavam is important. What happens inside us. Yeah. So if the bhavam is such that, so we were talking about vibhuti yogam. Vibhuti is one thing, yogam is another thing. Vibhuti, how vibhuti affects our bhavam. That is what we were discussing all these times. Yeah. Different vibhutis of Krishna. So all these things that what happens in our mind, they're called vibhrandi. Vibhrandi means a brandi state of mind. Mind goes and holds on to something. Depending upon the thought waves that comes inside the mind, accordingly the mind will start moving. The movement of the mind is dependent on the thoughts that comes in. So if we create such thoughts or such emotions, which is full of ragadvesham, which is full of hate and other kind of vasanas, lower vasanas, then the mind will be very disturbed and it will fall into rajogunam and tamogunam very quickly. So they are called vibhrandi of the mind. So for us, what is important? Bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam. These are the important things for us, right? So, and not not time, when it happened, where it happened, how it happened. These are not important. For us, what matters to us, what affects our bhavam is bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam. That will save us, right? And anything that destroys that inside the mind, whatever that destroys our mind, and that should not happen. That means any news or any kind of incidents that makes the mind vigalam. Vigalam means in a disturbed state. That shouldn't happen. So keeping all these things in the mind, you can see the rishis have compiled their literature. Whatever they have given to us is keeping all these things in the mind. Their intention was not to drag us into the history and create ragadvesham inside us. Instead, what they did was, they made the history in such a way, what they wrote, they were not historians. What they are saying to us is that these things happened and this is the effect on you because of that. And if we learn it that way, Ramayanam, Mahabharatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, everything will make sense. But if we start looking at it from historical point of view, like the way the researchers do, and trying to understand whether it is all true or not, it won't get you anywhere. It won't help us, right? So Krishi Sampradayam is like that. So, and you can see in Acharyas also followed the same path. They wrote Sotram, they wrote Bhashyam, they wrote Vartikam, and their Upadeshams, Stuti, everything is on this concept. They were not trying to teach us what happened some years ago. No. How to change your bhavam inside. The Sotrams are centered around that. The Bhashyam is centered around that. Upadesham is centered around that. Stuti is centered around that. So, everything is bhavam. Bhavam. Bhavam inside. Bhavam. So, improving this bhavana is adhyatma sadhana. Adhyatma sadhana is improving this bhavam inside. That, and in order for that, keeping Krishna as the center, first thing they are saying to us, everything has come from Him, from Atma. Krishna means Atma. Everything has come from Atma. That is the center point. It is centered around that, everything else is built. Right? So that is the tattva. Atma is janmadhyasayadaha. Everything originates from that truth, Antaryami. Then after that, now in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is now coming to the yogam side of it. So far it was all of the vibhudis spoken. So now he comes into the yogam side. And what is bhakti yogam? Bhakti yogam means, Krishna is mentioning here that slowly, able to see Krishna's presence in everyone. Krishna's presence in everyone. And it is possible for the people who are doing sadhana. It is not an easy thing. But you will see the benefit of this if you study it properly, right? One devotee came to see Swami Ramadas. Ramadas has an ashram in Kanyagad. A famous personality he was. So one devotee came to see him. And he told Ramadas that you are always chanting Ramachandra's name, but I don't see any photograph of Rama here, he said. So his answer was that, he said, everybody who comes here is Rama. So he is building up this bhavam inside to see everyone as Rama's manifestations, right? So, I decided that everyone I see is Rama, he says, right? It is difficult to see it like that, at everyone as Ramachandra, right? Because when we see a form, we will see his shortcomings in that person, his defects, his nature. These things will come to us. And we'll also see the good things in him, bad things in him, and it will create emotions inside us, right? And in order to come out of that, to take this away from us, in Bhagavadam, Krishna said to Uddhava, Praname Dandavad Bhumau Asho Chandala Ghoharam. You see, no? It is for that reason he said like that. To not to see in people their deficiencies, or not starting seeing their prakriti. Instead of seeing the prakriti, to see Krishna in them, he said, Krishna said to Uddhava, Praname visrajyasmayamanansan drishan vridamja dehigim praname dandavad bhumo ashva chandala ghokaram. He said that way, isn't it? So, you have to look at in what background Krishna has spoken these things. Instead of looking at only the incidents, what happened, right? So, he said that you offer obeisances to everybody, and particularly if you are feeling uneasy with someone, uncomfortable with some people, when you are not easy with them, then offer obeisances to them, and all if you feel some kind of hate or envy towards anyone, offer them obeisances. So basically what Krishna is saying to us is, it's the same thing what Ishavanishad is saying. Ishavasam idam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat. Cover the whole world with Ishvara. Put this blanket of Ishvara on everyone. and start looking at them, right? And then Krishna said after that, I am he in that 19th verse. What he was saying, I am he sarvakalpanam, sadrijino mato mama, malbhavam, sarvabhudesho, manovakaya vrittibhi. That's what matters, he said. Malbhavam sarvabhudesho, in everyone my bhav, as Krishna's manifestation that person is. Or, and madbhavo sarvabhudesho, manovakaya vrittibhi. Mind, words, everything, Krishna is saying, that all your chittavrittis, when they come, when they happen, if you keep on developing this, he says, I am he sarvakalpanam sadrijino mato mama. Sadrijino mato mama and madbhava sarvabhudeshu mano vakaya vrittibhi. Mano vakaya vrittibhi. So, till that Bhagavad Bhavam comes, Upasana has to carry on in that way. This Upasana has to go on. So, Bhagavadam said like that, right? You will also see, again, Sri Narada Maharshi told Vedavyas, Naishkarmam abhi achyuda bhava varjidam. Bhavam. Bhavam matters. Yeah? If achyuda bhavam is not there, then nashobhade jnanam alam niranjanam, he said. When the beginning, in the first canto, fifth chapter, then achyuta bhavam. So you can see rishis gave importance to bhavam, Krishna gives importance to bhavam, Narada Maharshi importance to bhavam. Bhavam matters, not the history doesn't matter. Unnecessarily, you can see this if you think yourself, your own life in this world. We were pumped with all this history into our head when we went to school, right? And even at that time, you couldn't relate with this. We were told that First World War happened between, and you have to remember these years, 1940 to 1918. Even now I am remembering that. What good has it done to me? I have come to this world after these world wars have happened, both the world war, 1945. Second one, 1939 to 1945. And we were children, these dates were important. This was pumped into our head. Because when you go to the examination, when they ask, you have to answer that, isn't it? So you have to remember this. And it is still staying. It's not leaving us. That world war has happened and come and gone. It has nothing to do with me now. It's not having any effect on me now. That's come and gone. And thinking about that world war is not going to help me at all. But how badly we were guided and badly we were educated. That's what Rishi's education. Rishi says, don't waste your time on all these useless things. Same thing about who started the war, where the war. War has happened, it's gone now, it's finished. That's not going to help you now. What will help you now? Have you developed bhakti, jnanam, vairagyam inside? Because that is a bhavam needed at the time of leaving this body. Not all this history. So, the point is that, so, it is based on these, Krishna is saying that everything is coming from him. Everything is coming from him. And if all the vikalpam goes away, all the vikalpam goes away, then everything becomes a sadhana then, because everything comes from him. He is the source. To accept that first. There is no more research required after that. If you accept this simple principle, Krishna is the source of everything. Aham and janmadhyasyadaha, the same. And that is what Krishna is saying in the next verse. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartade idi matva bhajandemam buddha bhava samanyuta. Adari Swami says here, Aham param brahmam vasudevakhyam sarvasya jagadaha prabhava ulpatihi mataha eva siddhi nasha kriya bhalo upaboga lakshanam vikriya rupam sarvam jagal pravartade idi evam matva bhajande sevande mam budaha avagada paramartha tatvaha bhava samanyudaha bhavaha bhavana paramartha tatva bhinivesha tena samanyudaha samyuktaha ityartaha. He says, me, I am Vasudeva, Vasudeva, in what sense? Not as Vasudeva's son, one who is living in everyone. Vasam means to live. One who lives in everything is Vasudeva. Satyam Vishuddham Vasudeva Shabdidam. Right. And I am the source of all this creation, everything. And all its existence, its destruction, and all the karma that goes on in this creation, and all this is happening in me. Krishna says it's happening in me. And the jnanis who knows these things, they enter into this bhava. They enter into this bhava. So, how do they execute the bhakti? That is what he is saying here. That aham sarvasya prabhavo. This is the devotee's mood. Aham sarvasya prabhavo. Matva sarvam pravartade. Iti matva bhachande imam buddha bhava samanyita. Bhava samanyita bhakti. How is that? This is how gradually the devotees, little by little, develops a priyam, a love for everyone in this way. Right? He tries to see Krishna in everybody as much as possible. It is a sadhana itself. It's a sadhana itself. We may not succeed in all these things because this all requires very high class sadhana from beginning in life. It may not happen to us, but Krishna says, Solpam apyasya dharmasya. Even if you put a little effort in that, it will get you a very long way further. Trayade mahadobhayat. Solpam apyasya dharmasya trayade mahadobhayat. That is Krishna's words on this, right? So, what do they do? And you can see this in the Kapila Maharshi's teachings also. Aham sarveshu bhudeshu bhudana amkridalpa bhudam. Arhaya dana manabhyam maitriya abhinena chakshusha. Kapila Maharshi says in the third canto. The same thing he is saying there. That aham hi sarva bhudanam aham sarveshu bhudeshu bhudalpanam kradalayam arhaya dana bhava mananam maitriya abhinena chakshusha. It is in the Kapila. I think it is Budal, 27th verse in the 29th chapter. 3:29:27. Athamam sarva bhudeshu budalmanam kradalayam. Kapila Maharshi says to Devahuti that these living entities, all of them, all bhudam, I am present in them. Athamam sarva bhudeshu budal, as their soul, budalmanam kradalayam. And Arhaya dana manabhyam maitriya abhinena chakshusha. One should learn to look at them that way and not see the differences in their nature. Rather see that me present in them. And they should serve them arhaya dana manabhyam. Give them whatever they require and serve them in that way. So, athamam sarveshu bhudeshu Budalpanam kradalayam arhaya dana manabhyam maitriya abhinena chakshusha. He said, I am present in everyone as Antaryami. And in whichever form I am coming in front of you, you worship me in that form. In whichever form I am come in front of you, right? For example, if I have come with hunger, you offer me food. And similarly, if I come with thirsty, you offer me water to drink, right? And if I come to you with some other request, you try to help me with that, in whatever our capacity, in other words. And if you cannot do offer any of those things, you offer obeisances to me, Krishna says. Right? So, with respect, adarava, bahumanam, in other words, you offer respects to me. In this way, little by little, this bhagaval bhavam to create inside us, this bhagaval bhavam, right? So, in vyavaharam bhava samanyudaha, what Krishna says here? Buddha bhava samanyudaha, right? So, this bhava mandalam, what is inside us, how to purify that? To purify this bhava mandalam. And little by little, it will create dhyana balam inside. The power of meditation, right? Some people say, it is very difficult to cultivate this when you see human beings. For example, they say that if you go to forest, thick forest, big forest, and you see big trees there, huge mountains, oceans, rivers, even animals, birds, with them, we don't have a fight, isn't it? Whereas with the human beings, we are always in a mood of confrontation. So, what they are saying is, when we go to those places, like you go to Himalayas, or you go to Ganga River, and stand there, and looking at the Ganga River, we don't have a conflict with Ganga. So, therefore, it is much easier to see Paramatma Swarupam present in them, rather than other people whom we have to daily deal with, where we have ragadvesha. It's understandable. Some people say like that, isn't it? It is true also. People whom you are dealing with on a daily basis, it is with them that you have always stress and friction and tension and all that. Comes from that. We don't have tension with Himalayas or with Ganga River or Nottingham Forest or anything. We have no problem with that. They exist, we also exist. But when we have problems with other living beings who are dealing with us on a daily basis, with whom we have to do vyavaharam, in other words. Yeah. So it is easier to see the Brahma Bhavam in Prakriti in its alaugiya beauty, when you see that. People sometimes, they go to seaside for this. When they see the sea, they feel a relief inside. When they see huge mountains, they feel a relief from that. A kind of relationship with that, right? And when you see Ganga River flowing, big, huge river flowing, you see Ganga Devi, remember, Jagadishwari, she is in this form, right? So, same thing with Himalayam also, right? That Himalaya is Parameshwara Swarupam, Krishna Swarupam it is, right? So, that sadhana is Parameshwara. Similarly, when you see huge mountains, Govardhanam or Arunachaleshwara, this bhavam comes inside us, right? And gradually the same thing, Upanishad says, stri, tvam puman, kumara, utava kumari, vishadomukham, stri, female, male, then girl, boy, all these things, it is you who is present in all these different forms. Yeah. Upanishad is also saying that. Whether we know it or not, except that it is Krishna who has come in that, right? And that bhavam may not come very easily. We know that it is not easy to get that bhavam, right? But if you accept that it is all Krishna inside, if you accept it like that, mind will become a little bit more peaceful, right? And ragadvesham, if we feel inside, it would be easier to take away that ragadvesham from inside. So, if you take the ragadvesham from inside, the mind will become more in a peaceful state. And mana prasadam, right? And like when you see Krishna's form in the temple, how you feel some prasadam inside, mana prasadam. In the same way, with all the rupam also. So, in this way, to accept that Krishna is present in everyone and able to develop that concept inside is called Vaisharadi Buddhi. Vaisharadi is Adi Vishuddha Buddhair. Bhagavatam says that, is it not? So, Vaisharadi Buddhi leads into this, that Eka Tattva Abhyasam, that there is one Tattvam, Andaryami, present in everyone. And that will bring Prasannada, a feeling peacefulness inside. And that peacefulness inside is Bhakti. That is Bhakti, right? And we have to do sadhana for that. It won't happen otherwise. Sadhana is required. And what is that sadhana to do that? That is the next three verses. And they are very important verses in this chapter. After those three verses, Krishna talks about vibhudis. They are not that important. The main core message is up to this, including the next three verses. After that, it is just all the different vibhudis spoken there. Look at the next verse. Machitta malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam kathayandashyamam nityam tushyandicha ramandicha. First verse, right? Machitta malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam kathayandashyamam nityam tushyandicha ramandicha. Ajari Swami says, Machitta maichittam yeshamte machitaha malgada prana malgadaha mam gadaha praptaha chachuradeha prana yeshamte malgada pranaha mai ubasamhrita karanaha ityartha athava malgada prana malgada jivana iti etat. One whose chittam is in me, malchittam, all his senses, senses of knowledge, and his pranan, he has dissolved in me, Krishna is saying. In other words, all our senses of knowledge and senses of action will only get involved with Krishna as Andaryami inside. Bodhayanda avagamayanda parasparam anyonyam kathayando jnana bela viryadi dharmaihi vishishtam mam tushyandicha paridosham uvayandi ramandicha retimcha prapnuvandi priya sangatya iva. So, he is saying, this is the bhakti sadhana, what Krishna is saying. Machitta malgada prana, bodhayanda parasparam, kathayanda shamam nitya, tushyandija ramandija. If you look at this in the Bhagavatam point of view, the same thing is spoken there as well. Right. We'll come to that. Where is their chittam? Completely absorbed in Krishna. And their pranan is for Krishna. And they are living in this world for Krishna. Means for self-realization. To get this awareness back. Yeah. And pranan involves our absorption of the mind, dhyanam. And the holy name, everything. Because senses, sense objects, all stays with the pranan. Without pranan, we have no connection with the sense objects. And you will know, you must have heard this. Sense objects are also called asu. Another word for that, right? Madgada prana means one who has chanted the holy name for a long time, continuously, and it controls our pranan inside, the flow of pranan inside. And the whole pranan becomes the flow or the root of the chaitanyam, the flow of chaitanyam through the pranan, right? And when a second person comes, what does he do? Bodhayanda parasparam. Machitta malgada prana. So, chittam has come to this level that all his senses, pranan, and everything is in together now. And due to the chanting of the holy name, the flow of pranan has become very steady inside. And if a second person comes, what happened? Bodhayanda parasparam. Mutually, they discuss about bhakti, about Krishna. So, these are in relationship with jnanam and bhakti, these verses both, it has its input on both jnanam and bhakti. If you look at above from a jnani's point of view, the four Mahavakyams, Aham Brahmasmi, Prajnanam Brahmam, I am Atma Brahma, Tattvamasi, four Mahavakyams, right? They are all there in jnani's Vyavaharam also. Jnani, for a jnani, how the Brahmajnanam begins, that Prajnanam Brahmam, Shuddha Jnanam, pure Jnanam, right? In other words, he knows Prajnanam Brahma means that it is not the mind, it is not the emotions that comes in the mind, but pure consciousness, Shuddha Bodham, Prajnanam Brahma, right? And that Prajnanam or Brahmam is present inside him as in the form of Aham, Aham, that awareness, Bodham, I exist, Aham, Aham. And that manifests, that is Brahmam. That is Prajnanam Brahma means, right? So that is one Mahavakyam, how he realizes inside as Bodham, awareness inside, Prajnanam Brahma, right? Then when he is present as Purna Brahmam, there is a possibility that his Brahmanishta, that steadiness in that Brahman realized state, sometimes a interference comes when another person comes in. So what should be heaving, he should feel at that moment that when the second person comes, Tattvamasi, that you are the same one what is inside him. Tattvam is one. So the Tattvamasi Mahavakyam comes when this Bodhayanda Parasparam comes. Yeah. Prajnanam Brahma is the Aham, what is inside us. Tattvamasi is when the Bodhayanda Parasparam comes. When a second person comes, you see him separately from you. At that time, the second Mahavakyam comes in. Tattvamasi, the same Tattvam is you, not different from him, right? And ultimately, if many people comes, what happens? And I am Atma Brahma. It is the same Brahma who is present as Atma in everyone. I am Atma Brahma, right? So, right from all living entities, when we say not only people, all living entities, from Lord Brahma right up to the amoeba, the smallest one, in all living entities, who is present is this Brahma. I am Atma Brahma, right? So, in this way, all the Mahavakyams are present in Jnani's Vyavaharam. In Jnani's Vyavaharam, all these Mahavakyams are present, right? And he develops this bhavam in every. That is how he absorbs these words in his life. Machitta malgada prana bodhayanda parasparam kadayanda shamam nitya tushyanti jaramantisa. Right? So, while he is living in this world, that he is, as a devotee is concerned, this is from a Jnani's point of view. If a devotee is concerned, he relationship with others is on the platform of Krishna. That means he talks about Krishna all the time with other devotees, right? And they will talk each other about Krishna's instructions, Krishna's pastimes, and everything related to Krishna. Kathayandaschamam nitya, or chanting the holy name together, meditating together, and they will not talk anything else apart from that. Yeah. So if they open their mouth, they won't gossip, in other words. They will talk matters related to Krishna. That's how they conduct their life. Yeah. And in Bhagavadam, Kapila Maharshi says that with whom one should have salsangam. Even somebody who is not doing anything, when he is alone, he is still absorbed in topics related to Krishna. Go there, he said. So, salsanga means So understand this, that satsangam doesn't mean everything has to be in an organized way. That's not necessary to be like that. For example, that only if you have organized a place in an organized time and with the mic and everything, that's not the only way satsangam happens, right? For example, if you see all the satsangam in the Bhagavatam, nothing was organized, everything just happened. For example, if you look at Vidura Maitreya Samvadam, Vidura walked around and then he ended up in Maitreya Maharshi's. Uddhava told him, you go there, and he went there. No prior appointment or anything, just gone there. When he got there, he saw Maitreya Maharshi in meditation, so he waited outside. And then Maitreya Maharshi woke up, he saw Vidura standing there. When his samadhi state, Maitreya Maharshinam Agadha Bodham, he says. The very vision of Maitreya Maharshi has touched Vidura so strongly. So you can see, satsangam happens like this, accidentally it happens that way. Same thing with Yudhishthira and Narada Maharshi. All samvadam are like that, Rahugana and Bharata, nothing was planned, it just happened. Bharata Rahugana samvadam just happened in a normal way. It was not a planned satsangam, in other words. So satsangam doesn't have to happen in an organized way. It can happen in situations like that. So that satsangam, that's what bodhayanda parasparam. Yeah? And what happens to them when they do that? They feel delighted, both sides. Both devotees get delighted, right? And when they hear each other about Krishna spoken like that, tushyandi cha ramandi cha, he says, tushyandi ramandi, right? Tushyandi ramandi. They get blissful and they get enjoying that bliss, right? And this about Prahlada, if you look at it, you will see this mentioned. In Prahlada's life also, you will see the same thing. You look into the seventh canto, when they talk about Prahlada,
Thirty-fifth verse, 7:35.
Prahlada state, was like this. He will sometimes loudly say, Hare Jagalpade, Narayanetyad Mamadir Gadatrapa. Without any, he didn't feel any shyness. Oh, somebody else is listening or taking notice of me. Without any care for the world, suddenly it came out from him. Right? So, these are things that happens in devotees. When they have do the Sankirtanam, like the way Bodhayandas, Kathayandas, Shamam, Nityam, when that happens, right, this bhavam will come inside. In other words, the whole mind is absorbed in Krishna. Yeah. And all these emotions are in Krishna. All their emotions are in Krishna. Kathayandas, Shamam, Nitya, Tushyandija, Ramandija. Just like people who are gone mad, intoxicated, right? And they will talk about in 10th canto, Sri Shiva Brahmashi mentions this, how the materialistic people, how they get delighted talking about something what they like. Sometimes people talk about a good feast. Young men talk about women. And that's what example Shukha Brahmashi has used. Look at the Bhagavatam. In the 10th canto, what he said, he's saying, Shukha Brahmashi thinks that, if you look at the 13th chapter, second verse, 10:13-2. The taste, he is saying, of people. Sadamayam sarabradam nisargo यदर्थवाणी सुविचेतसामपि प्रतिक्षणम् नव्यवदच्युतस्य यल् स्त्रियाविडानामिव साधुवार्ता स्त्रियाविडानामिव साधुवार्ता दट्स् वाट् ही से हौ दे गेट् डिलैट् इन् टाकिङ्ग् अबौट् विमेन् they are called vidans vidans means who are very attached to sense gratification and they like to talk about glories of the women the beauty of their body and all kinds of things you can see in the modern world it's a strong thing so el striyana vidanam iva sadhu artha he says that how young people join together and talk about these things they talk about all sorts of things but young people this is a topic of discussion Otherwise, they will talk about election results, politics, sport, movies. And in this way, they will discuss various things. But devotees, Krishna is saying here, they get satisfaction from discussing about me. And that is what he is saying here. Kathayandashamam nitya, tushyandicha ramandicha. And that is a samadhi state. This is a devotee state, right? Eganatha Swami mentions this, right? And he says this as far as the Ekananda is concerned, he says silence means, maunam means discussing this Brahmavidya. That is maunam, silence. Discussing Brahmavidya is silence, he says. You don't have to take vang maunam. Some people go into silence mood for a few days. Maunavratam, they call it. Right? So, and you may be living with other people and you take to silence mode and all those who are living with you will be doing exactly opposite things. You can see that in this world. Sometimes people go into silence. You want to have a silent mood, want to spend time with in a Maunavratam. But then everybody else in the world, house, he's busy with this, what's wrong with this man, he can't even talk. They take it in the other way. So it's a difficult thing, right? So, and they will decide. They won't say anything then. They will say, when he comes out of his this maunam bone, then we will deal with him properly. We have a few things to tell him then. So they'll wait till you finish your maunam silence mode, right? You can't do anything because there is some benefit if you shut your mouth, right? Because the mouth causes all, tongue creates all the problems, right? So the main benefit is that whatever thoughts comes inside, we won't express it to others. You'll be able to keep it inside. That's the benefit of this, right? So that means what we think and what we speak. If there is a gap in between, it's good. If there is no gap, if everything that comes, some people are like that, everything that comes in the mind, they will spurt it out, right? And they will get into trouble also because of that, right? So seeing this distance, creating a gap between the thoughts and the words is good. So that is first step in maunam. And maunam is, where did that come from? Muni's bhavam is maunam. That's where it come from. Muni's bhavam is maunam, right? In other words, jnanam is also maunam, in other words, right? And first class maunam is that one who is able to practicing Brahmavidya, right? Ekam eva adyadiyam brahmam. Continuously able to analyze Brahman, this way, the knowledge, Upanishad's knowledge inside, right? For example, in the Jnani's case, and when when they talk, you will find in them, in their language, a alaugikatvam. Alaugikatvam means the bhasha what we use is laugikam, is it not? In our bhasha, most of the time, it will be centered around me, you or he. These three things will come in our conversations, is it not? Either it will be about me or about you or about somebody else, right? But Rishi's language, these three things don't come easily. You won't see that in there when they speak. Yeah. So that bhasha, that language, where me, you, he doesn't come, right? So in normal conversations, these are the things. Me, you, and he always will keep in, comes in, right? So when these things don't happen, that is Brahmavidya, right? And that is what Krishna is saying here. Kathayanda shamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. It means actually Brahmavidya, discussing Brahmavidya, where me, you, and he doesn't come in. Because me, you, and he is laugika mites, laugika bhasha, right? So when you talk about Krishna, me, you, and he doesn't come, and that is how they relish there. That is how this sadhana comes, what we have spoken, aham sarvasya prabhavo, mata sarvam pravartade, right? So, when one is present in that state, his state of communication is like that. That means he is experiencing this Brahmavidya to some extent. Nobody gets it in the day one, but gradually it comes into his prakriti is changing. The idea is to change our prakriti. That is the purpose of all these things. To transform it from demonic prakriti to divine prakriti. Asuri sambhata to Devi sambhata. How to develop Devi Sambhati inside. And that is what the points Krishna is making it here. To change our, this Asuri Sambhati inside us. Changing Prakriti is not an easy thing. Subhav. Krishna says that, isn't it? Subhavastu pravartade. He mentions that. Subhavam is not easy to change. And changing the Subhavam of from Asuri Prakriti to Devi Prakriti is spiritual life. Spiritual life is centered around that. Yeah. So, lot of times, people experience, language is not important for them. The bhavam is important of a person. Bhavam affects others more than the language. So, sometimes, people come and you observe in good satsangams, you can observe that. Somebody may come and they will sit and listen very carefully. Right? And sometimes they may not even fully understand what was being spoken. But the bhavam has affected them. Right? And so, what it means is that language is not everything. The bhavam of a person will have an effect on others. In certain situations, your very presence can have an impact on others. It's more eloquent than your language is. Everything is not, communication is not only through language. Communication is also through the bhavam in a person, right? Direct communication has a power to communicate, but there is sometimes things which are beyond language, beyond words, right? And the essence of the words, essence of the truth, is sometimes hiding in the words, or sometimes in the bhavam, that is, right? So, and that is what Krishna is saying here, that bhavam that comes from that. Kathayandaschamam nityam tushyandija ramandija means, it is not only the words they spoke to each other, but that bhakti bhavam in those people, how it transforms from one person to another. One transmission happens of the bhavam of a one person gets transmitted into the other person. The change of bhavam in a person. That is what he is saying here. Kathayandaschamam nityam, because tushyandija ramandija is all bhavam inside. The bhavam of a person. So, Kathayandasyamam Nityam leads into these changes, into Tushyandicha, Ramandicha, right? So, Machitam Adgada Prana, Bodhayanda Parasparam, Kathayandasyamam Nityam, Tushyandicha, Ramandicha, right? And this thing what Krishna has spoken here, right? In Srimad Bhagavatam, if you look there, in the 10th canto, while talking about the Nalakuvera and Manigriva pastimes, yeah, in the 10th chapter, you will see this mentioned there, 38th verse. It is this one. Vani gunanu kathane shravanau kathayam hastauja karmasu manastava padayona smrityam shirastava nivasa jagal praname drishti sadam darshane subhavatanunam. That verse, yeah? Between, this is Nalakuvera and Manigriva glorifying, talking to Srinarada Maharshi. After Krishna released them from bondage, from the two Yamalarjuna trees, when they appeared, then there is that studi. It is the end of that studi, what they prayed to Krishna was like this. Vani gunanu kathane shravanau kathayam hastauja karmasu manasava padayorna smrityam shirastava nivasa jagal praname drishti sadam darshanistu bhavat tanunam. So, bhakti sadhana is like that. Bhakti sadhana. What did they say to Krishna? You should have always the opportunity to talk about you. The same thing what Krishna is saying here. And to hear about you. To talk about you and to hear about you. That's all what we are asking. This is what they asked Krishna. To give us this bhakti. Vani gunanu kadani sharano kathayam. That verse, yes? So, their prayer was the same what Krishna is saying here. This is what they wanted, right? And in Egarsha Skandam, Krishna will say this as a sadhana. This whole thing as a sadhana. If you look in the 11th canto, Navayogi Samvadam. If you look at the Navayogi Samvadam, Prabuddha says this. 11.3.31. Smaranda smarayandascha mitho akaugaharam harim bhaktya sanjadeya bhaktya bibratulpulagam tanyum. Same thing. What Krishna is saying here? It's the same thing, yeah? Smaranda smarayandascha. What the devotees do each other is they remember Krishna and they remind others of Krishna. Mitha akhoga haram harim, which frees them from all kinds of sins from their thing. And this bhakti leads to bhakti. Bhaktiya sanjadeya bhaktiya viprati ulpulagam tanum. And they get affected by that pulagam tanum. Their body gets all surcharged with that emotions of bhakti in them, right? So they remember Krishna and they remind others of Krishna. And that wipes out all our propensities for sinful activities, right? And when they discuss Krishna, they become very emotional, and it makes them very affected by that. Yeah. So with their hair gets standing up, all the signs of ecstasy happens to them, and while they discuss about Krishna. And that discussion itself is samadhi state, right? So, first class salsangam is when we speak about Krishna, or similarly even about spiritual master or mahatmas in the same way, and when we talk about that, naturally, there is a oneness inside happens. You become one with Krishna that way. In other words, the when you are talking about great personalities, great mahalmas, spiritual master, Krishna, when you discuss them, about them, there is a feeling inside within us, our heart, mind, a certain identification with that Mahatma, or because of those qualities in them, you start identifying with them. A oneness comes inside your mind, and that is a samadhi state it is. That when you hear about Mahatmas and their life, their instructions, and similarly all the great personalities in the Bhagavatam, and when Krishna talks about all these things, about the bhakti in this way, just like Prahlada, when we talk about Prahlada, automatically you feel inside a certain connection with him inside, an attachment to him, and you feel a kind of happiness inside in being with him, talking about him. That oneness coming in an emotional level with him, right? So, and it is not samadhi state, but it can be called as a samadhi. And even informally, if you are alone and reading books, this samadhi experience can happen. And this is, many Mahatmas' case, it is much more obvious, it comes, right? For example, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa had cancer in his body, and he was dying, he was leaving the body with cancer, right? A doctor was coming to see him, and the doctor told him that you shouldn't talk so much with other people. All his devotees were coming to see him. So doctor said to him that you don't speak to them so much, you will get tired. And he put restrictions on Paramahamsa not to speak. But then he told him, you can talk to me always, he said. So in other words, he got a taste for that, talking to him. He got a taste from that, right? So, and he told him that, you can talk to me as much as you want, he said. And that is what here he is also saying here. In this verse, what he said, Smaranda Smarayandascha. Prabuddha is saying to Nimi, Smaranda Smarayandascha. They remember and they remind others, Mito Akaugaharam Harim, Bhaktya Sanjadeya Bhaktya, Bibrati ul pulagam tanum. Right. So, it does create a samadhi bhava inside. But in order these things to happen, one has to, Krishna is saying that, one has to reach a certain purity inside the heart. And that has to come through salsangam, it has to happen. So, if this won't happen, if there is some motive in salsanga, if one has some motive, right, and nothing else should happen, nothing should happen on the way and block it, right? That means if we have any motive behind salsanga, then even the our state is impure, right? If it is impure, if we have motive inside, then the salsangam will become waste of time. That means the speaker, if he has any motive behind it in the salsangam, then it won't have the effect on the others. And where do you find that? In the first canto. Look into the first canto. While talking about salsangam, Sridharana Maharshi told Vedavyasa Maharshi in the 5th chapter of the 1st canto. Verse 14. Tato anyatha kinchana yad vivakshada Pradagdashastal Kridanama Rupabi Nakutrachal Kwabija Dustida Matir Labheda Vada Hadanauri Vaspadam. What's he saying? Tato Anyatha Kinchana Yad Vivakshada. If you have anything else in your mind while having satsangam, right? And Narada Maharshi is saying to Vedavyas that whatever you are speaking, if you have some other motive behind that, those who are hearing, in their mind, it will create vibhrama. Vibhrama means confusion in their mind. Yeah? And their mind won't become peaceful. They won't develop shanti. And that is why, when Krishna said there, tushyanti cha ramanti cha, they are tushyanti, they feel satisfied, and ramanti cha, and they talk each other about it. So that bhavasthiti or samadhi sthiti, kadayandashyamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha, able to always remain in that state, yeah, in bhavamandalam, to develop this anubhuti inside, of Krishna's anubhuti inside. So, pure devotees, they can create this anubhuti easily in others' heart. They will create this anubhuti very easily, right? So, that means, what he is saying, that kathayam dashyamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. And such people who are absorbed in that, yeah, they are called satata yogis. Satata yogis are fully liberated, or devotees who have who are carrying Krishna all the time in their heart. Nothing will come from their mouth, nothing else, except topics related to Krishna, right? So, that is also a state of samadhi for them. And this maunam, what Krishna was talking about, is also a very higher state, because jnanasthiti is like that. Jnani's case, it is maunam inside, right? And Krishna mentions there that if you come to this state, then everything else I will take care after that. Yeah. Suppose the motive is not pure of the satsangam. And first through satsangam, purify your heart first. What Krishna is saying that. First purify your heart, right? Everything else I will take care of it. That is the next verse. You see what Krishna says? Tesham satata yuktanam bhajadam priti purvagam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayandite. So these three verses, machittam algada prana bhodayanda parasparam kathayanda shamam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha, and this verse and the next verse, all the three are conclusions of the Vibhuti Yogam. What Vibhuti Yogam should lead one to these three verses at the end. Yeah. So, what kind of people are they? He is saying, Satata Yuktanam Bhajadam Priti Purvagam. They have nothing else in their inside except remembrance of Krishna. Nothing else inside. And they are, Krishna says, they are yogis all the time. And not that only in satsangam they are like that. Even in vyavaharam they are like that. Yeah. Even while doing vyavaharam, this Bhagavadam has its effect on them. The chanting of the holy name has effect on them. And similarly they go into, mutually they visit holy places, temples, and engage in sadhana there. In this way, by doing different things, sustaining that Bhagavad Bhavam inside. How to sustain that Bhagavad Bhavam inside at all times, right? For such people, Krishna is saying, Bhajadam, that is what that Bhajadam Priti Purvagam means. Bhajadam Priti Purvagam means, they are doing their bhajana with Priti. It means with full heart. With full heart. not forced upon anything, but they have an attraction for that. And they spend their time in different ways, but all related to Krishna somehow or the other. So those who are doing bhajana with priyam, not only voluntarily, they have a bhavam inside how to please Krishna with that desire, doing the acting in that way. So Krishna says to such people who are doing bhajadam priti purvagam, to them dadami buddhi yogam. To them I give them that buddhi yogam, right? Buddhi yogam, Krishna says, I'll give them buddhi yogam. Buddhi everybody has got, right? But buddhi has to come in contact with yogam. Buddhi has to come in contact with yogam, right? Buddhi is not brain, right? Buddhi is not brain. Yeah. Here, buddhi refers to our heart, where all our emotions, thoughts, everything originate from. The Antaryami, in other words. Yeah. So, and also, so buddhi is referring to that center from where everything originates. Everything originates. Buddhi, what we call it buddhi is this thing, isn't it? Intelligence, in other words. So, Krishna is saying, dadami buddhi yogandam. I'll give them that buddhi. What buddhi means? Buddhi means the proper guidance and support from inside. Antaryami will give that. That's what Krishna is saying here. Dadami buddhi yogandam means Antaryami inside will give you the direction and the support what is required to sustain you in that bhakti. If you have come to this state, bhajadam priti purvagam, then dadami buddhi yogandam. Spiritual life is not what we do everything. Antaryami support is required at every step. Yeah. So, so he is saying here that what will happen then? Yena mam upayanti te. They will come to me. They will come to me. Dadami buddhi yogandam yena mam upayanti te. So, you require the, you see, you have come to bhakti process. Through salsangam you have taken it seriously. And you have began the bhajana. And you have developed, come to one level of bhajana where you are doing it voluntarily from inside because of attraction to Krishna you are doing it. That is bhajadam priti purvagam means. Not doing things out of force from others or instruction from others. Out of your own desire from inside, you have come to this bhakti stage that you engage in bhajana with priti purvagam, with priti, right? Once you have come to that stage, Krishna says, I will give him the buddhi what is required to go further from that to come back to me. By me, present as Antaryami inside, I will give the buddhi what is required, all the directions, instructions what's necessary, and all the thoughts what is necessary, dadami buddhi yogam tam, for him to come back to me. That is what he is saying here. Yeah. So, due to that jnana yoga, the jnanam, the knowledge what is necessary for that, they will come back to me. One thing is certain, he says, that this buddhi yogam or jnana yogam has to become one. That is when self-realization. Coming to me when Krishna says yanama upayandide means, basically, you know what that means is he will realize the self. He will realize who he is, in other words. So this is the bhakti way of saying, yenama upayandide. He will come back to me when Krishna says that. What that means is he will realize his identity, spiritual identity. In other words, he will become free from maya. He will come out of maya. So same thing is spoken in different ways at different times. And Krishna is saying, you don't have to worry about self-realization then. if we chant the holy name, and if we develop bhakti in the heart, and gradually chittam shuddhi will happen, right? And that chitta shuddhi happens, mind will pull out of the world and turns towards the Atma. That is how it happens. Now the mind is busy with the world outside. So the mind will lose interest in the world and it will turn inwards towards the soul, towards the Antaryami. So and that is what is required, is it not? To direct all our mind, direct the mind away from the world to inwardly. Right? So, and you will see this, Kapila Maharshi is saying this also. If you look at the third canto, when he was discussing this, lot of things are same. What Kapila Maharshi says, what Krishna says is the same thing. But it is spoken in a different way. Yeah? In a different way. If you look in the 24th chapter, just before the Kabilam started, the the last but one verse, 24:46, Alpanam sarvabhudeshu bhagavandam avasthidam apashyal sarvabhudani bhagavati avich alpani ichadvesha vihinena sarvatra samachedasa bhagavad bhakti yuktena prapta bhagavadi gati. It is from there, Maitreya Maharshi said this, and then comes this Kapila Maharshi's teachings to Devahuti. Kapila comes after that. Yeah. So if you look at that verse, Alpanam Sarvabhudeshu, I am present in everyone's heart as their very soul inside. Bhagavandam Avasthidam, situated within their heart. Apashyal Sarvabhudani, Bhagavatyapi Chalpani. So Krishna is saying here that the if the Shuddham, Chittam becomes Shuddhi, Chitta Shuddhi happens, only then all these things will happen. Now our battle is with this Chitta Shuddhi. All Upasana, Sadhana, everything is Salsangam, everything is for Chitta Shuddhi purposes, right? So, Chittam, when Chittam becomes purified, Chitta Shuddhi happens, gradually what will happen is that we will start realizing this body has nothing to do with us. We are not this body. This awareness will come. Yeah. Theoretically, we may say so many things about how explain it, theoretical side. But only when Chitta Shuddhi happens, we start realizing that our connection with this body is not what we thought it is. Normally, we are, most of the people, I say, in this world, thinks they are the body. And they feel that they have to take care of the body. And they give a lot of importance to that. And why do we go to work? To take care of the body. Why do we have family life? To take care of the body. Why do we have social life? Take care of the body. Why do we have money in the bank? Take care of the body. What else that money can help? So everything our life centered around this body. And that is very deep rooted inside us. It's not easy to come out of that. Yeah. So what Krishna is saying here is that, Kapila Maharshi is also saying that, when Chitta Shuddhi happens, what happens is, you will start realizing, body is not the important thing. Somehow or the other, a misunderstanding has gone inside us about the importance of this body. Right? But with the help of Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, what happens? We started realizing all these misconceptions I was carrying within me about this body. Gradually leaves us. Yeah. And you started looking at your own body, standing separately from the body. Start looking at it. Just there is a video yesterday, I don't know, I'll put it today when I go back. Watch that thing. Yeah. It is a Russian man. He has not eaten food for many years. He has not drunk anything and he has not slept either. And somebody is interviewing him, a young man. Few years he has not slept, not eaten, not slept, not eaten, and he is living still. He doesn't sleep. So this person who is interviewed that, he is asking him, how did this happen? So he is explaining his experiences, what happened. You can listen to that, it's about 20 minutes or so. What he is saying is that, I'm losing this connection with the body. So, From that conversation, now we can't verify it, he is there and we are here. But from the conversation you can see, there are exceptional situations like this. And we think we understand this body. Actually nobody understands this body. This body is a very peculiar phenomenon happening around us. Maya created this for us and put it on us. And we are living inside this prison. This is a prison actually. This is not a very comfortable situation. This is actually a prison because it limits us to this body, isn't it? We're completely caught up in this body. And all great personalities will say, we say that, oh, I got sick, I got this disease, that disease in my body. Strictly speaking, body itself is the disease. Not that disease has come for the body. Body itself is our first disease. All other diseases come for this disease, what is called this body, right? So if you think in this direction, if your mind becomes working in this way, gradually this connection with the body will come out. To a large extent, you may not succeed 100%. What Krishna is saying is, even to a small extent, if you can disconnect with the body, it will help at the time of death. Whereas totally absorbed in the body, whole life, living in that state, is not a healthy situation. That's not spiritual life. I may be doing so many things, but if all the time I am worried about my body, then that understanding, attachment to the body, is very much a misunderstanding about the body. So that is the point. Shastram says, body itself is a disease. Remember that. Body itself is a disease, and you are treating other diseases when it comes to the body, thinking that, I know these things are little difficult to digest first, because we are so absorbed in the body. Yeah. So, Krishna is saying this, little by little, when Chitta Shuddhi happens, this thought will come inside us, that I don't have to care for this body to such an extent and so much importance, I don't have to give it for this, right? And similarly, you will slowly disconnect from the subtle body also. That happens when you become a little bit more subtle. Initially, first thing happens is attachment to the gross body goes away, and then subsequently, the attachment to the subtle body also goes away, right? So, and then, if you have gone a step further, you will start locating that center inside, and the Yami's location inside. Even that will come to your awareness. That means you start realizing there is another center inside where you actually reside, the awareness, bodham, right? And that will open up at that stage, right? So, mind, intelligence, all these things, we can know that to some extent, right? Similarly, senses also. But this locating the center is at a much later date, after the other things, right? This we have not seen, but Krishna is saying that if you have that, what Krishna says, when this buddhi yogam starts working, you will start experiencing that location there, that center there, right? The center where our ahankaram comes, where I, the feeling of my, me, all the time, in the morning when we wake up, I exist, that ahankaram, it comes from there and it goes back there. In the sushupti, it goes back there. That center, where it happens, that will be, and that's what in the third canto said, karnana, amrdanadi, connected with the, that location, yeah, karnanadi, connected, yeah, with the, Hiradam Chinati, it says, between the ear and that center, connected there. Normally that nadi is closed. When it opens up, the message goes directly there. Normally it is closed, right? So that will open up. So what happens? Buddhi, when Krishna says, Dadami Buddhi Omdam, Buddhi develops an unusual power to know these things. Till then our buddhi stays in a very, very frozen state. Yeah, buddhi is not working. That buddhi doesn't work. The other buddhi works. What is in the head and causes all the problems with that. And that leads into, that buddhi yogam leads into Advaita jnanam, right? This unusual power we acquire in that way means a divisionless awareness. You see, right now we have divided everything in this world, isn't it? With Veda Buddhi we have divided everything. And we are not able to see that we are in one with the whole creation itself. That is that divisionless awareness, without any division between each other, right? It's not intellect actually, but it is the intelligence. There is a difference between intellect and intelligence. Intellect is only a spark or a bubble, right? Intelligence is the ocean. In intelligence there is no division, right? In intellect there is division, right? So, for intellect can only see, intellect is this brain thing. It can only see namam, rupam, all these other things. Namam, rupam only it can see for the intellect. Yeah, for intelligence, what rishis call say is akashakalpam, it says. Like the space, it is present everywhere. So, jnanena akashakalpena. Akashakalpajnanam means that where the vastu what you are seeing, the person who is seeing, and the process what he is seeing, tripudi, that goes away. We don't know how far we are controlled by our body, is it not? That with this body, gross body and the subtle body, we have fallen into a state. And we got used to that. And we have to come out of this and go come to the state what the rishis are talking about. And that journey is quite big. Abhyasa yoga yuktena, Krishna will say that later. Right? So, so the power to think about these things, and jnani gets that vision, that sushma darshanam it's called. Sushma darshana means able to see things in a very subtle level, right? And their jnanam or buddhi goes that way. It develops that way, right? They see everything what we are seeing with our eyes, what we see. They are also seeing that, but their seeing is different. Pashyanti buddhi means that in their vision, all the divisions have gone. For example, when we see things, we see Vedam. Veda Buddhi is there in that. This is good, this is bad. This is nice, this is not so nice. In this way, in everything, when we see things in this world, there will be Veda Buddhi. Is it not? Ragadvesham will be there with that. But in their vision, that Veda Buddhi is not there. That means all divisions goes away. I know it's a We can only talk about it now, because till we get to that state, we won't know what that means. It's all like that in spiritual life. Many things what Krishna is saying is all one has to experience it some level. It has to become a paroksham, in other words. It in prajaksham level, it is not possible to prove that. In abroksham level, he's saying here, in our brain now, for example, we will say that we have seen different things, we have different opinion about different things, and we have kept it like that within us. That's how we relate with this world. Some people are good, some people are bad, some events are good, and some events are bad. And different ways everything is divided, and stored it inside us, right? These divisions have to go. These divisions have to go, right? And there is no more divisions existing, right? And it is with such a buddhi, all the Upanishad secrets are revealed. Upanishad secrets, right? So it is difficult to, we can only talk about it now, because to understand that kind of buddhi is difficult, divisionless buddhi, where we don't see everything differently and divided way and trying to, that means we look into the prakriti and see the prakriti made of so many things. And some things in the prakriti you are giving some recognition in some way. In some other thing in the prakriti we are rejecting it for some reasons, because of our ragadvesham. Now, without ragadvesham and without all these divisions, if you are able to see this prakriti, that is how the rishi saw the prakriti. Because of their very high level of satugunam inside them, they did not see this prakriti like the way we are seeing prakriti. And it is in that state they gave this Upanishads to us. Yeah? So, all the Upanishad rahasya, the secrets of Upanishads, is coming from that, right? Ajarya Swamiji, in his commentaries on Upanishads, is asking this question. You know what he is saying? He says that if they were not in that state, liberated state, with this high state of consciousness, how otherwise these Upanishads would have come through them? This Upanishad's knowledge could not have come to this world if these people, means rishis, who have revealed these things to us, were not in that state. It's obvious, he is saying, that they were in that state, that is why they were able to give us this Upanishad's knowledge. Otherwise they couldn't have given, because this is not a knowledge that you can acquire through your mind and senses. Upanishad secrets. He is asking this question in the Bhashyam. He is asking this very openly, saying that if this Jivan Mukti state, because people question all these things, you see, is there a state called Jivan Mukta state? Can it be liberated? Ajarya Swamiji's answer is, if they were not in that liberated state, they couldn't have given this Upanishad's knowledge to us. It's purely based on knowledge. It is not the so-called religion of the modern world, where we fight each other, deciding who is God. That's not that type of knowledge. This is the knowledge of the soul, of pure Chaitanya consciousness. Yeah. So he is asking this, that it has to, that knowledge has to come through somebody to this world, right? And how did that happen? And now, right now, we have got books for this, right? And we study the books, but books are only a new thing. Before the books came to this world, how did this knowledge survive in this world? Through people, is it not? Through rishis. Rishis kept it, rishis gave it to their disciples, and somehow that knowledge stayed in this world. Without books. I mean, without books it stayed in this world. Imagine the power of the knowledge. That means somehow or the other, the rishis give this knowledge to the world, and it stayed through the different paramparas in this world. This knowledge stayed. Yeah? So, so if it is like that, imagine their state of buddhi, of the rishi's buddhi, what kind of buddhi that will be, right? And that is what is called, and what is the nature of their buddhi? That is, in Shastram, they don't call that as buddhi, medha shakti, medhavito, right? Medha devi, medha is a devi, medha is the name of that medha shakti. And Medha Devi's blessings, it is due to this Medha Devi's blessings that one becomes a rishi. Rishitvam it is called. That rishi nature. Deep penetration inside and mind totally gone inwards, not turning into the world. And that state of existence, right? And that is how Brahmavidya comes out, right? So, and that is what Krishna is referring as Buddhi Yoga, that Rishitvam, how it comes to them. Yeah. Otherwise, if you read these words, you may think, what's this? There are many people who claim themselves very intelligent in this world, isn't it? Probably, sometimes people may think even they are referring to some scientist or something. Dadami buddhi yogam tam. But this buddhi yogam is not that. This buddhi yogam, what Krishna is referring to, is that when you develop this rishi nature, rishitvam, yeah, that means Brahmavidya has made that as a channel to come through that. So, tesham satata yuktanam vajadam pridipurvagam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti de. You can see here, there is no division between jnanam and bhakti. Krishna has both brought it together. You see, on the one hand he is saying about jnanam, and the otherwise he is talking about bhakti sadhana also. You see, how these two, three verses, if you look at it carefully, you can see Krishna has kept both together, jnanam and bhakti, because they are not separate. A first class jnani is a good devotee, first class devotee, and a first class devotee is a first class jnani as well. They are not different. Krishna has said that in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? Jnani tvatmeiva mei matam, astido sahiyuktalpa mameva uttamam garim. Krishna has not separated jnanam bhakti. We have separated that. And we created all the confusion in the people's mind about jnanam and bhakti. Bhakti is different, jnanam is different. How can that be? It cannot be. It makes no sense at all. That if your bhakti is all centered around only on the rituals, without jnanam in there, that bhakti won't last very long. It will be wobbly, very wobbly bhakti it will be. So, here Krishna is saying that. And so, you are executing sasana, nama japam, and dhyanam. After doing all these things, this is from the bhakti point of view, right? What is Krishna's promise? Krishna is saying here that when you go to a house and you press the calling bell, if the house owner is there, he will come and open the door. Similarly, Krishna says this nama japam is like the calling bell. You're going and pressing the button, right? And Krishna is inside the Antaryami and he will open the door. And all these things they have taken and they have brought into Bible and all the other books also in different ways. There, you knock the door and he will open and all they're saying. Where did that come from? It came from this Antaryami concept. Yeah, you know the preachers, you will see them saying, I don't know in English what to say. In Malayalam we say it very easily, very simply to say this, right? Because you are so used to hearing that all the time. And they'll give a lecture in the street saying all this. Knock the doors will be open. Yeah, they say like that, right? Where is that? What does that mean? It means the Antaryami, that is what the Antaryami principle is all about, right? Obviously, he has spent a lot of time to study Upanishads. They say he spent time in Kashmir, and in Jagannathpuri also, Jesus has spent time to study Upanishad. But he spoke a lot of Upanishad's knowledge, he has put it into the Bible. But only thing is, it has not been gone into their mind, those who have studied Bible, and they have interpreted it in their own different ways. Instead of seeing the subtle messages, they have developed into a religion, that thing. And that's where things have gone wrong with their process, yeah. So, it will open, he says. It is not open from outside, it's opening inside. The opening is inside, right? And that means that avaranam, what we were talking about, two problems we have, avaranam vichevam. Avaranam will be removed. That's what opening means. The two problems we have is avaranam and vichevam. Avaranam made us to think that we lost our spiritual identity due to avaranam. Avaranam did that we lost our spiritual connection. Vichevam made us to identify with the body. So, vichevam gone away, but now the avaranam also goes away and then you experience the reality inside, right? So, and Krishna put that in the Bhagavad Gita. In the 6th chapter, he says, buddhi grahyam ati indriyam. If you look at that verse, there are three verses there in the 6th chapter. verses 20 to 23. Three verses together. Yatram ubaramade chittam. He is talking about a yogi here now, in this sixth chapter, right? Yatra ubaramade chittam, niruddham yoga sevaya, yatra jayu altman altmanam, pasyan altmani tushyati. Through yoga bhyasam, he has established the self, and established in the self, and attraction for sense gratification is gone, and the mind is one with the Atma. Yatra jayu altman altmanam, pasyan altmani tushyati. Yatra ubaramate chittam, niruddham yoga sevaya. Yatra jayu altman altmanam, pasyan altmani tushyati. See that verse here? So, mind is completely absorbed in the Atma. At that time, what happens? He says, sukham, atyandigam yattat, buddhigrahyam atindriyam. Veti yatra na chayvayam, sidaschaladi, tattvada. Then Krishna says, yam labdhva chavaram labham, manyade nathiyam tada, yasmin sidona dukkena, gurunabhi vijayalyate. All those verses here. Yeah? So, that buddhigrahyam atindriyam. Adindriyam means beyond senses. On sensual level you can't get this understanding. On a sensual platform, which means through mind, intelligence, normal way. It's not possible, right? Our buddhi becomes capable of knowing that truth. Buddhi grahyam adindriyam. Buddhi has gone beyond the senses. Normally, buddhi, in our experience level also, buddhi and the senses, they work together. But buddhi has to become free from that, the effect of acquiring knowledge through the senses. That power has gone, but instead it has gone beyond than that, right? So, now, normal buddhi, what we have, has no connection with this buddhi. Buddhi's form has changed. It's a different buddhi here, right? So, you don't have to, the important thing is, you don't have to, developing this buddhi, you don't have to go to school or college. School or college cannot help you with this buddhi. This is that, what we call as the buddhi yogam, is different. What does that mean? There was one man who was coming to see Paramahamsa regularly, right? He was a man who was working physical work, he was doing on a daily wages basis somewhere. Not educated at all. Never went to school, never went to college, nothing. Yeah. And he was working for some devotee who was a devotee of Paramahamsa, right? So he used to come and see Paramahamsa speaking and got attracted to it, what Paramahamsa was saying, right? And seeing his devotional nature, even though not educated, he never went to school or college, lived a very simple life in the village, but got attracted to what Paramahamsa was saying. He got attracted to it, and it gone inside very strongly. Vivekananda gave him a name, Albudhananda. Because he was an Albudham. He was a shock to everybody. Never got educated in school or college. An ordinary worker who just does physical work and making a living. He came to Paramahamsa and he was living to Paramahamsa, hearing Paramahamsa. And he got attracted to that and it had a huge impact inside him. That is how spiritual life is. It's not material qualifications, has nothing to do with it. And this person, because he had the Chitta Shuddhi, and because of that, he was able to capture many subtle things, what Paramahamsa has spoken, Upanishad secrets. Paramahamsa's qualification was, Upanishad's knowledge, he can form through stories and present it to people in a nice way, so that people can connect with it. He was very good at that. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, if you look at the Ramakrishna Vajanamritam, you will see, highly difficult subjects, spiritual subjects, difficult to convey to others, he had the capacity to make them into stories. He will bring examples for that. You shouldn't ask where it happened, when it happened. But his examples will be so good that through examples you will capture the message easily. So he had that capacity. And this man, Albudhananda, he will come and listen to Paramahamsa. And he enjoyed it so much. And it had its effect on him. It had its effect on him, right? Now, normally, we say that people who are not educated in the school or college, we say they are not educated, isn't it? So, and we think that we have to get them through the system and get them proper. That's how the modern society thinks, isn't it? That's why we go to Africa and put all those people through the school and college. And the same thing that we are doing in India also. People were living in India even before schools and colleges came. But then what happened? Everybody has to be educated. And this is the education what we are talking about, right? So, only difference is if you educate them, what they will do is, instead of taking the knife, they'll take the bomb. That's a major difference with this modern education. That's what it turns out to be, right? So, and instead of drinking the toddy, they will drink Scotch whiskey. That's what this education does. Is there any difference otherwise? If you look at that, what the so-called educated society. Instead of drinking, see, toddy was much cheaper. And also, everybody didn't drink. You know what toddy means, isn't it? From the coconut trees you make. And there's also from the palm trees you can make. The country liquor, they call it. And those toddy shops are very remotely done, thatched cottages. People will hide while going there. Because in front of others, they don't want others to see that they're going to drink. And it is served in the glasses and looks very white color. And you just get inside, drink it. And then you quietly go home and sleep. That's what they did. Now what is it? You've got the best, most taverns and all kinds of pubs with all the flashy names they have everywhere in every village. Lakshmi has got three on three sides. They've got from all the three directions when you come, you enter through. This is the entry. Entry itself is these three pubs. Three horseshoes, battle axes, and there's one more on the other one. And these three holy names you see all the time when you enter into the spiritual capital. Yeah. So what I'm saying is that the the modern education allows you to do all these things and you don't feel any shame about that. At least when you are drinking toddy, you felt some shame that this is not right, what you are doing, right? So have we improved it or we degraded ourselves when you look at this? Yeah. So, so all this education is all useless. So, and this person, he simply, without education, hearing from Paramahamsa, he made the progress in spiritual path. And Vivekananda respected him a lot, right? So, because why? He developed that Medha Shakti, what we were talking about. Medha Shakti he developed, right? So, without getting it through the education system, he developed that power of education, right? And that requires bhakti. For this Medha Shakti, it requires bhakti, right? And apart from bhakti, Krishna's mercy also, right? And that requires that you should be able to live in this world in conjunction with the prakriti of the world, prakriti, nature, right? His mindset is not to exploit the world, unlike the scientists or the modern educated, so-called educated society, which only believes in exploiting the nature. It's not. You look at their economic development, it's all centered on exploiting the nature, whether it's drilling the oil, going to the space. In everything behind that is money-making. Or even if you go down underneath the ocean, also looking what is there for me to make money out of it. This exploiting nature of them is not there in them, in these people. They have such a purified heart that they can live with the prakriti without any complications. They don't feel any conflict in their mind. Whereas those who exploit the nature, they know very well their actions are causing problems in this world. Is it not? Now we are talking about climate change. Whether climate change is direct results of their action, I don't know. But fact remains that they all are acknowledging that the way they are going on with their development work, economic development and sense gratification, is causing problem in our Whereas these personalities, like this devotee Advaitananda and all that, they have only knows how to live in conjunction with the nature, not exploiting the nature. Right? So, here what we say is that for these people, there is no Prakriti, there is only Vikriti. Prakriti is not there, right? So, Krishna is saying, Dadami buddhi yogam tam enama upayandide. These are people who are seeing Krishna's presence in everything. These people who have developed this buddhi yogam. And his buddhi becomes a vibhuti then. What Krishna said before, that vibhuti. It is this buddhi that becomes a vibhuti. So, Jnani's buddhi is a vibhuti. Vibhuti means there is no divisions there. There is no divisions there, right? And it has got the capacity to know everything. Sarvajnyatvam. And Sarvajnyatvam means it has got the capacity to comprehend spiritual knowledge. Right? And also, Niradishayam Tatra Bijam. If you look at this way, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajadam Pridipurvagam Dadami Buddhi Yogantam Yenama Upayandide. He's saying here, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Nityabi Yuktanam Nivrta Sarva Bhakeshananam Bhajadam Seva Mananam Kim Arthitvadina Karanena Na Iti Aha Pridipurvagam Pridi Sneha Talpurvagam Mam Bhajadam Ityantaha Dadami Prayachami Buddhi Yogam Buddhi Samyak Darshanam Matattva Vishayam Tena Yogo Buddhi Yogaha Tam Buddhi Yogam Tena Buddhi Yogena Samyak Darshana Lakshanena Mam Parameshwaram Atma Bhudam Atma Tvena Ubhayandi Pradivadyade. So he becomes, Ajahn Swami says there, this person who have come to this level, he becomes free from Eshana Trayam, Viteshana, Putreshana, Dareshana. He becomes free from that, and because of his relationship with me, I give him the knowledge about me, which means knowledge of the self, right? And they will come back to me. Ke te ye machittatvadi prakare mam bhajande. Kimartam kasima tot prati pratibandha hedo nashagam buddhi yogam teshan tot bhaktanam dadasi idi gagam shayam aha. He says, why is that those who have fixed their mind, you give them this buddhi like that? So mind becomes absorbed in Antaryami. Krishna gives this buddhi yogam to them. Are you giving the buddhi yogam to come out of all the obstacles? Arjuna has thinking like that. In answer to that is the next verse. Tesham evanukambartam aham ajnana jam tama nashayami atma bhavasto jnana dibena vasvadaha. Tesham evanukambartam aham ajnana jam tama nashayami atma bhavasto jnana dibena vasvadaha. So, here, Krishna talk about the buddhi yogam first, is it not? So he says there that this body, this buddhi, mind, everything, how Ishvara uses buddhi, that way our buddhi should be used. What does that mean? It means that in Ishvara's case, Sachidananda Brahmam is speaking here. Sachidananda Brahmam. When he says aham, aham means in that Brahmam state he is speaking this, right? Ishvara, Sachidananda Brahmam as Ishvara runs this show of creation. Is it not? Whole creation is working in him. He maintains that and everything goes back to him. So, what that means is there is no personality involved in this. Vyaktitvam. Individuality is not there. And therefore, Ishvara's case, five material elements, for example, it is doing its part in this creation. Earth, water, air, ether, fire, all of them. Similarly, these powers in us, like mind, intelligence, ahankaram, chittam, all of them, on that, we don't have a personal involvement. They are working on its own way. The subtle body is working in everyone in its own nature. Right? So all these forces in the creation, they operate individually, but they operate all the time. They are working. Right? And therefore, how Ishvara uses these powers, different powers. When I'm saying mind, intelligence and all, they all have got their Adhishtata Devata, is it not? You know, Adhishtata Devata is there for mind, intelligence and all. Upasya Devata and Adhishtata Devata. So they are operating independently, but they are not controlled by Ishvara. The setup is such that, like he said in the Kavilam, how the wind is working, how the fire is operating, how the earth is functioning, water is flowing. All these things are naturally operating on its own, right? So, how he is controlling this, maintaining this creation with all these different powers without a personality. Without a personality, right? Personality is not doing it anymore. You see, normally in our level, personality is important. It's not, who did that, we will say. And we give all the credit to this person and all. Nobody gives credit to Vayu. Nobody gives credit to Agni. Isn't it? There are forces that is working in this world, which without any selfishness, it does as it's been given the authority by Ishvara. So Ishvara acts without personality involved. We act with personality. But when Buddhi Yogam comes to a person, what Krishna's point is, personality is not working anymore. There is no personality behind that, right? They are a special category in the sense that one, because they have realized the truth, they are a peculiar category they are anymore. They are not individuals anymore. They are not individuals. They may look in the personal form, in a particular form, but they are like a machine. They are like a machine. In other words, through them, Krishna operates them. They are not operating anymore. Through their body, mind, everything, it is Krishna which is operating that machine. Not like our case, ahankaram operating everything. That difference, what he is talking about, right? For example, they are in the human form present in this world, but their buddhi is not like the buddhi what we have. And their mind and senses is also not like ours anymore. And only the soul exists. Soul operates everything. Antaryami operates everything. And their atma, Antaryami, has become their senses, their buddhi, their mind, everything. Atma has become. Not like in our case. Ahankaram operates and vasanas are influencing that and our mind is making decisions individually, buddhi makes individual decisions. What I'm saying is, there's a big shift happening inside with this. And that is what he's talking about. That's what they're saying. So, he said, I'll give them the buddhi yogam and I will realize that truth in this way and staying inside this, inside them, through this special state of their buddhi and through my mercy, they will get over their avidya. Because avidya was the cause of this connection, is it not? It started with avidya, everything. Avidya will leave them and I will remove that avidya from inside. How? Jnana Deepena Bhaswada. That is that verse. Tesham evanu kambartam aham ajnanajam tama nashayami atma bhavastho jnana dibena bhaswata. Yeah. I will be present inside and through the light of knowledge, jnana deepam, I will remove their ajnanam, avidya from inside. In other words, I will turn them into their spiritual identity. I'll bring them back to their spiritual identity. Another way of saying that, I will give them Swarupa Jnanam. Swarupa Jnanam means our lost identity, getting it back. Yeah? Atma Swarupa. We'll get that back, right? So, so this Atma Swarupam, what we are talking about, right? Two things are involved in that. Yeah, one is saying that the Jnana Deepena Viveka Pratyaya Rupena Bhakti Prasada Sneha Abhishiktena Madbhavam Abhiniveshata Abhiniveshavadheridena Brahmacharyadi Sadhana Samskaravat Prajnavartina Virakta Andha Karana Dharena Vishaya Vyashaya Vyavurta Chittaraga Dvesha Kalishida Nivadava Varagasena Nitya Pravati Egagra Dhyana Janita Samyak Darshana Vasudha Sthana Dibayana Ityartha. So he mentions that the Bahyagara Nivurta Buddhi. Bahyagara Nivurta Buddhi. Bahyagara means that right now, Buddhi is busy with Namarupam. Namarupam dominates us now. Is it not? Our thoughts, our mind, our Buddhi, everything is dominated by Namarupam. Namarupam withdraws from inside, right? And instead, Atma Bhudam it becomes. Atma takes over our Buddhi. Atma Bhudam. And that is what he is saying here. If Namarupam attraction, Namarupam, when it is dominating us, we see all these divisions, Namam Rupam. You remember five things, Satachita Anandam, Namam Rupam. That is this creation is. Out of that, Satachita Anandam is Krishna. Namarupam is Maya. So, at that moment, you can say that you have come out of Maya and come in agreement with the Atma. Atma Bhutam Suvijnayam Durvijnayam Iva Durastam Iva Pradibhasi Jnana Dhibena Atmano Bhavam Anikam Dehado Aham Ajnana Jam Avivegado Jadam Mithya Pratyalakshanam Moha Andhagaram Tamo Nashayami Atma Bhavastam Atmano Bhavaha Andhakaranashayaha Tasmin Eva Siddhasan Jnana Dhibena Viveka Pratyarupena. So he said that, and then it becomes Atma Bhutam. And then he said, Atma Bhudam he has become. That means he has become awareness instead of Jiva Bhudam. This is the difference. Jiva Bhudam means identification with the body and influence of the mind, intelligence, ego, vasanas, prarabdham, everything. Once you become Atma Bhudam, then suvijnayam mabi durvijnayam iva durasam iva. Ajahn Swami says here, even though Atma is available to us inside us, a sandaryami, everybody has that, it appears to him as though he has to get it from such a long distance. It has to come to him, and it appears as though he is so far, and it appears as though it is very difficult to get him, to get the Atma, right? And it appears as though you have to struggle very hard to get it, right? But instead, if one has received the mercy of the Guru and Krishna, then there is nothing more easier and more simple and so freely available except Atma. Atma is the most freely available thing. Ajahn Swamiji says like that here, right? And that is what Krishna is saying here, that you see, one who has become, Tesham Eva Anukambartha, Aham Ajnanajam Tama, Nashayami Atma Bhavasto, Jnana Dibena Bhaswata. This is the summary of that, yeah? That one who has become qualified for this mercy of Krishna, Tesham Eva Anukambartham. What he does is, aham, Krishna says, aham, ajnanajam tama. His avidya, I take it away. And then what happened? Nashayami alma bhavastam. So he loses this state where he was identifying with his body and the mind and everything. Instead, I install him in the alma bhava, establish him in the alma bhava. Nashayami alma bhavastam. How? Jnana dibena vasvada. With the necessary knowledge required for that. So you can see self-realization don't happen without Krishna's help from inside. As Andaryami inside, that is what Krishna does to us. He gives us that. This is called Krishna's kripa, mercy, right? So this verse is talking about Krishna's kripa, mercy in the self-realization, the power of mercy. Krishna's mercy, right? If that mercy is there, everything becomes very easy, right? And Krishna will do everything for us, what is required, right? He will stay inside us, Andaryami, and remove all the obstacles there and give us the experience of the self, right? So in this way, all these verses right now, till now, is all Krishna's vibhuti. This is all vibhuti, Krishna's vibhuti, right? Now, and Krishna mentions there, in these ways, I am present inside you. And so, now onwards, Krishna is going to say, how I am present in this world, various different locations where you can experience me in different ways to make us understand this Vibhuti better. But Vibhuti Yogam's main message is over with this. But now, from now on, the rest of it, what you will find, is all about the how Krishna's vibhuti should be seen in this world. But what is vibhuti and what is yogam? That's what Krishna has explained so far. So, all these are very valuable things in Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita's subtle side is all these things. The vibhuti of Krishna. What is vibhuti means? What is impact of vibhuti on us? And how vibhuti becomes a yogam? What we have seen till now. So, we'll continue on Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.